Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's the corner where the troops at. Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We about to. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your sports betting needs and sports betting info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's NHL Hockey Stanley Cup Finals, Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code, that's BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash. I'm here with our former legendary tight end, Jason Dunn. JD, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, brother? What's going on, man? How you doing? Has this nice, wonderful night that we're getting out here, dealing with some things that actually some personal things with my nephew. My nephew is actually in the hospital, so I just want to put that out there first. He's an avid guy coming and watching our show. He loves it. He loves all the interaction. So his name is Chad. So everybody put a prayer in for my nephew, Chad, that he'll do better, made a speedy recovery. That's what we're looking for, man. But, you know, hey, should we want to bring on, like, you know, the prayers and good energy and all those good things, man. So we staying positive with everything. So we faithful people, man. We're going to be there with it. So, but that's other than that, man. Hey, everything's good, man. Another episode of Chief Concerns, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Prayers up to Chad.
Thank you.
Hope all is well and everything goes well. So we got some things to touch up before we go to the segments tonight. So first thing, I want to not going to tell you who, but on the episode of the week of July 13th, so the episode will come out July 14th, we're going to have an active player. He's on the receiver depth chart right now. And he's going to come on our show and he's going to talk to us about, everything that he's kind of gone through this off season with the Chiefs in last year, being on the practice squad. So that's exciting stuff. We're going to have him come on. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I want you guys to, you know, be excited about, you know, potential of who it could be. So I'm going to let you guys simmer on that. It's going to be exciting to talk to one of our receivers, especially on an off season like this, where, you know, a lot of changes have been going on in that room, going down in Texas and, catching balls from Mahomes and kind of having that little summer camp down there with the guys. So that'll be exciting stuff. Another thing, today was kind of a sad day in the NFL community. A linebacker, a 26-year-old Jalen Ferguson, was found dead at his home early this morning. Don't know what happened. I'm not going to speculate here. But then also a veteran later on today, another Baltimore Raven, also Indianapolis Colt, but 55-year-old defensive tackle Tony Siragusa, the Goose. Passed away. So very sad day in the NFL community, specifically in the Baltimore Ravens community. But JD, do you have any words on these losses today?
Yeah, man. It's, I mean, it's always sad to hear guys, anybody lose their life. A young guy like Jalen, like I said, you know, just thoughts and prayers go out to his family. You know, dealing with this, just ask right now just for patience and peace and, you know, everybody, you know, because I've seen some silly stuff on Twitter and stuff, you know, about what it could be. And this, look, man, the guy just lost his life, and trying to be the first one to say why it was and stuff like that, I think, man, it's just, it's insensitive, to be honest with you. But I just want to say, you know, to his family, hope, you know, everybody's just holding on to each other during this time. And Goose, man, played against Goose number of years. And so he was the big guy in the middle. Yeah, that was who Goose was. And huge personality about him. Always had that presence. And I think guys just really love being around him. You know, what he contributed, you know, for, you know, just a teammate, but also too, just on the football field. Just a heck of a player, and had a respect for him. And, you know, this is the alumni. This is my brothers, and this is my brotherhood. Anytime anybody loses their life, like I said, guys that play ball, it's just one of those things that you got to look at and say, man, you know, it's tough. It's tough. But my heart goes out to him and his family dealing with this. Just tragic. But, you know, hopefully, you know, everybody just gets around each other, you know, hugs each other right now and understand how precious life is, regardless of, you know, if you're playing football or, you know, if you're not doing anything else, just, you know, just cherish one another, man. Life is just so precious. It is so precious. So we just got to hold on to one another. But yeah, so Jalen and the big Goose, Siragusa, hey man, to honor you all, cheers till we see each other again, brothers. All right.
Yeah. Yes. Sad stuff. And Siragusa, you know, for a lot of the young guys of my generation, obviously, you know, I watched football as a young kid, but I think a lot of people in my generation, the younger, probably remember Siragusa being the sideline guy on Fox NFL Sunday from 2003 to 2015. He stopped doing it about 7 years ago. Man, he was great. Great personality. He was a real fun guy for to watch the games. Big personality. I believe he was also in the movie 25th Hour with Edward Norton. I remember he had a small role in that movie.
Really?
I believe.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So yeah, no. Daily prayers go out to his family and Jalen Ferguson's family. Mm-hmm. But yeah. With that being said, I know sometimes whenever we get into some of the somber stuff, you know. You know, we have to go. We it's the Chiefs show. We got to go into the topics for tonight.
Yeah. And life is important. So it's good to talk about those things, man. You know, we real people, and everybody, you know, things are more than just football.
Sure.
In life, and you know, we know people out here are going through things as well, right? They watch our podcasts and us out here in the real world. So we just want to let them know, we just putting a lot of love to you all for supporting us, but also too, man, if you're going through anything, man, just let you know that you got guys out here to love you. Me, Marcus, Eric, you know, and so, you know, we there for you. All right. Y'all keep trucking.
100%. And, you know, and also like it's life, but you know, we put together this show, you know, it's to provide a little escape and a little levity, you know,
absolutely
bringing some of that to you all. So mm-hmm. we're happy to come to you guys weekly. But so it's tight end U week. It's the second annual tight end U week. We'll get into what JD's got to say about the tight ends. But we got, for it being tight end U, we've got two tight end segments on the show. And not often we have two tight end segments on the show, but we have two this week.
What are we doing? Uh-oh. Shoot. Switching it up a little bit?
Yeah, we got to.
We got some tight ends? Yeah.
Show our love and respect. So first one tonight. So Rob Gronkowski retired yesterday. It's the second time he came out of retirement from the Patriots and came out to play with Brady in Tampa, and now he's retiring again from Tampa. And 11 seasons playing in the NFL. He's regarded as one of his era's probably one of the best tight ends of his era. Set many records, including most receiving TDs in the postseason for a tight end.
Being the first tight end to lead the league in receiving touchdowns with 17 in 2011, and most 100-yard games by tight end at 32. So naturally, when it comes to the NFL and the guys retiring, we always talk about legacy. And naturally, there was a debate sparked between Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce. And there was a time when Travis Kelce was a young buck when people called him Baby Gronk. Kelce didn't like being called Baby Gronk. I remember he had a press conference. He said, "Don't call me that," or something like that. Something to that effect. But the debate was who's going to go down in history as the better tight end between Travis Kelce and Rob Gronkowski. Obviously, Kelce has at least, knock on wood, he had at least 3 to 5 years left. Maybe hopefully more with the way he plays. And he's really never had any significant injuries like Gronkowski did have a lot of significant ones. But he's got a lot of ball left to be played for him. But as of right now, you kind of see where the trajectory of Travis is going. Who do you think is going to have the better career between Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce?
Who is going to have the better career?
Yeah.
Between the two. Wow. you know what? I tell you what. I know we have these debates all the time about, you know, greatness and GOATs and who's this and who's that. And I'll say this, both these guys I think have cemented what they have given to the game, their legacy, no doubt about it. And I'll talk about, Gronk first. Gronk, without a doubt, celebrate his 11 years of playing in the NFL, gave a lot to the game. I mean, dominated, absolutely dominated up there in New England, came down to Tampa Bay, won another ring. And did a good job down there too. And so he was integral in all the wins and all the Super Bowls. Well, at least some of them when he was playing, that New England had won when he was up there. So I can't say enough about what Gronk did. And to be honest with you, when he first came out and was catching footballs, I was just kind of looking at this guy. I'm like, man, he's a good player. He's a really physical guy. Really good blocker, just took up space. And he just, he was just housing guys out there on the football field. And so I always wondered, like, a guy this big just could move like that, kind of that fast and getting open. And he was just killing safeties, linebackers, corners. It didn't matter who he lined up against, man. And when in his time and heyday, he was fun to watch, man. Gronk was fun to watch. So, congratulations of his 11 years. He gave a lot. Gronk, good job. Good job. He did a great job. Just go out there and go playing. Now, let me move over to Travis. Okay? Move to Travis. When we talk about when it's all said and done, right? We're talking about in the future, what guys may end up being like or being about. Well, Travis has kind of set himself apart a lot because of what he's been able to do on the football field, with the 1,000-yard, games and year at consecutive years at the year. So, look, he's, without a doubt, if he doesn't get injured anymore and he continues to have the success that he's having, like you said, another 3 or 4 years he's going to be able to play, maybe even longer, because it's all about consistency. I think there's no way, like in the conversation, and I know, look, it's all subjective, that you can't sit there and say that Travis will not be one of the best of all time, period. I think they were talking about bringing up some tight ends names. And of course they brought up Gonzalez. I think they brought up Gatesy, Winslow, Sharp, then Gronk. Right. And I see the guy was like, "Hey man, I know one name you forgot about. It was Travis Kelce." Right? But Travis is still playing. Travis is still eating. Travis is still killing them out there. And so, nobody wants to be premature in saying those things, but everybody understands Travis's greatness out there on the field, right? I mean, come on. He's, without a doubt, to me, the best tight end in football right now. Now, I even seen somebody having that debate. Like, they had him, like, maybe third or fourth, like, best tight end in the NFL, right? And so everybody's going to have arguments, whatever they, what they talk about, right? Now, I'm going to have my mind as a tight end looking at these things. The thing he's able to do, the way he's able to play, catch the football, and just, be elusive. He's, without a doubt, I think when it's all said and done, man, he's going to be absolutely one of the upper echelons, and it's going to be hard for guys to beat. Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, you know, because there's different eras, and I think that's why sometimes everybody's kind of, you know, a little bit put off by the comparison anyway, right? The GOAT, who's the best, this and that all the time, right? Because everybody's asking me, well, who's better, Tony or Travis? Who's better, Tony and Travis, right? That's always the question I hear all the time. I'm like, look, man, I think the Chiefs had two of the best tight ends ever played a game of football. That's the way I feel about it. So, you know, and then people could say, well, look, well, how many targets did this guy have? What was offense like, you know, when, you know, Tony was playing and Travis was playing? And I think, you know, these things encompass a lot, because I look at it more so numbers tell a story. I don't think they tell all the story, right? Like, I look at a great tight end encompassing everything, catching the football, being able to get open, being dominant out on the football field, blocking, all those things. And Travis, he checks all the boxes. He does. And I think sometimes he just doesn't get a much of recognition for his blocking. But I watch him out there. You know, as a tight end, I'm watching everything. I'm watching, you know, him getting in the hands. I'm watching the play when it develops. And I'll know if he's getting a block, he's not getting a block. Or, you know, like Shannon Sharp would get, you know, he'll get in the way because he just wasn't big enough. Sometimes he just make sure, look, I just got to hold a guy up 1 or 2 seconds, and that was it. Where maybe Gronk might have been a little bit more forceful in his blocking, right? So I know it's all going to be subjective, but I think when it's all said and done, I don't think you could deny Travis saying he's going to be better than Gronk. I just don't. And I think the numbers kind of bear it out. Now, what Gronk has is, of course, is, you know, what are they going to say? Championship. Look, he's got rings. You know, that is an indicator. And it is. It's an indicator. So that's why I say these conversations are kind of subjective, you know, to have a debate. But I'll say this. Both these guys are great tight ends. Both of them are going to be one of the best to ever play the game, without a doubt. So, hey, man, you know, you pick who you want to get, you know. But I think, you know, I'm not going to sully anybody, say anybody's not, you know, good enough, man. Gronk was dominant all during his time he played, no doubt about it. And Travis is still killing him while he's playing right now, and he's going to continue to do that. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, as long as he's not, you know, doesn't get hurt and he's consistent and on doing those things, he's going to be fine. So,
yeah,
that's where I'm at with it. I don't know.
I'm with you. And I think for me, and when we talk about the Gonzalez, the Gonzalez debates, and I know a lot of Chief fans now are, you know, people have something against Tony with the whole Atlanta stuff and whatever.
Right.
People
right.
are they always say Kelsey's better than Tony. And if you look at it, we look at the top tight ends of all time, Sharp, like we said, Gronkowski, say Kelsey, yeah. Gates.
Yes.
All those guys have. I'm not saying Gonzalez in this one. All those guys have one thing in common. They all had quarterbacks who were going to be Hall of Fame quarterbacks thrown to them. You know, Gates had Breeze for a short period of time. He's got Rivers, who could be possibly a Hall of Famer. Arguably, his numbers will be Hall of Fame numbers. Right. Gronk had Brady. Sharp had Elway. Mm-hmm. Kelsey's going to have Mahomes.
Right.
And not to knock all the quarterbacks. There were some quarterbacks that Gonzalez had that were badass. I thought they were badass, but they weren't Hall of Fame famers. Trent Green, badass quarterback, not a Hall of Famer.
Right, without a doubt, without a doubt.
Biggs, one of our guys, he had that amazing season where he targeted the hell out of Gonzalez. Saw a quarterback, not a Hall of Famer. Gerbeck, not a Hall of Famer. Right. Brody, not a Hall of Famer. I mean, Hewitt, not a Hall of Famer. I mean, all these guys that, you know, Tony put up these numbers and with quarterbacks. And you've seen through the ages where he has badass tight ends come out of college, amazing. But they go to a team like the Browns, for example, in the early 2000s, where they were going from quarterback to quarterback to quarterback, and those tight ends were impacted by it. They never really panned out.
Right.
But was that because of them, or is that because they're their quarterback situation? They never mattered for Tony.
No, hey, look, and I think that right there is a great case. That's an argument, because it didn't matter who was under center. He was still was dominant, and it was all about what he was able to do out there on the football field. Yep. So if he get the ball anywhere near 88, man, he was snagging that joker,
yeah.
You know. And I played with him, so I know what he can do. I know how great he was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when people try to, hey, you know, I'm like, look, man, I know without a doubt in a game, if something's on the line, I'm looking to 88. Mm-hmm. There ain't no question about it. The whole stadium knows you should go to him. And so that's it, bottom line. I'm like, look, this dude right here is a machine. I'm talking about incredible. And I'm talking about the consistency of not being hurt over the years, not missing games. Come on, man, 17 years? Yeah. Yo, I don't think people taking into account. I get it. You know, sometimes when you're younger and you don't quite see, you know, the plays and watching the person play, you can't quite appreciate it like you would as somebody who was a current player, right? Because of the domination. But, you know, I mean, who's the same man that, you know, if Patrick had, you know, Tony when he was playing, not like how many catches would he do, right? Yeah. If the offense was predicated off of kind of more of what they're geared toward now, right? More of a passing league, what would his numbers be? Mm-hmm. So, we you know, we don't know that. But I do know that sucker right there, he's a whole different animal.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with any of those guys. It's a good point. Forget the fact that, you know, let's say we want to talk about, oh, let's say Tony played with Pat. And I can imagine that Tony in his head is like, oh man, I wish I played with Pat. But in this day and age too, we're talking about the day and age too. So not only Pat, but fast forward the amount of years, because Tony's putting up numbers that were like insane for a tight end back in the early 2000s. But yeah. You put that into it nowadays with feeding Tony the ball. I mean, with the offenses that we have now, I mean, who knows what he could have put up. And that's something that's so unique to Tony that no other tight end that in this conversation we're talking about, none of those guys had to go through kind of the kind of quarterback carousel that he had to go through. And
yeah, should I even say also too, you know, Tony was getting doubled and triple team a lot. There was time he was getting like triple team, and Gronk has some of that up there in New England. Yeah. There was times, you know, he was getting, you know, double and triple team. And I see sometimes, you know, Travis getting some of that. I think they do a good job of spreading the field out where you can't, you know, double, triple team a guy as much, you know, defensively like they used to. You know, because we used to have, you know, a running game and whatnot. You know, we lean on Priest or Larry. You know, we had, you know, that's how our offense was kind of predicated. And, you know, we did a lot of great things, successful offensively. But, yeah, man, that's why I say, man, sometimes these arguments about what they want to say and how they do it. Hey, man, look, you choose what you want to say. I'm taking it from what I know. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I watched the Joker, watched him get better. I watched the sucker dominate. I watched when I know for a fact the end of the game is on the line. We need where we going, yeah. You know, and it's the same here with Travis. That's where we should go. Yep. There's the game on the line. When we need a play, something happened. Boop, give it to him and let him hit his head on the goalpost. So this right here, this logo, it's had the two best tight ends of all time, period.
And don't forget, that logo's also had the best run-blocking tight end. Just the best pass-blocking and run-blocking tight end in the guy I'm talking to right now. So,
yes, sir. Hey.
and that's a part of the game we don't even talk about anymore. Is that the tight ends who can block like that? Because those a lot of that doesn't even exist anymore. A lot of it's like what you said. It's kind of a guy who can come in and block for like maybe a second or two, and that's what would be a, you know, that blocking tight end now.
Yeah, right. Hey, man. You know, hey, and I appreciate all of it. I do. I appreciate every little bit of it. You know, and I enjoyed it. And these guys, you know, have done putting in a lot of hard work. And these guys that's out here blocking and catching and whatnot, hey, I'm celebrating them.
Yep. And that's, we will have more for the tight ends in a little bit. Okay. So next one, you kind of talk about it here. The next topic, you mentioned that, you know, Tony was double teamed and he was kind of one of our main go-tos. Our guy, I mean, to say, you know, talk about Kelce now. I mean, he was kind of the Kelce and Tyreek for a period because he was our guy. You know, he was our number one receiver, number one tight end. But so everyone's talking about the Chiefs wide receiver room, how it's so deep. And it's the deepest it's been in a really, really long time. And we've talked about on the show. And one of the things that I've seen a lot of fans talking about online is this question. So it's kind of, it's a two-part. Fans want to know, how do you think Mahomes' mindset will change by having good depth versus a reliance on one guy in Tyreek? And how might he anticipate defense changing their coverages now that this wide receiver depth exists? You got to be there in a time period where we went from kind of so Tony centric to then we had Kennison, we had Sammy Parker, and we had Dwayne Bowe. And we kind of saw the offense kind of like kind of expand a little bit. Mm-hmm. With those questions in mind, how do you see the game kind of changing for Pat having
so many guys to be able to spread the ball to?
I think the room has gotten better, just I think from, you know, top to bottom. And I think that's one thing that we got to acknowledge is that, you know, from man to man all the way through, we are a better receiving core, right? I mean, we had Tyreek who was at the top of his game and then Travis, but then all of a sudden you got these guys who without a doubt have been great, you know, on their teams before, right? On the previous teams, you know, MVS was probably the third receiver up there in Green Bay. Juju was probably, was number one when AB left, you know, ended up becoming like, you know, number two at one point, then number one, all pro. And then you're talking about, you know, the guys that, you know, McCole has become better over the years. And so that's what you want to see, that type of progress. And then we go talk about Sky Moore, what he's done in college and maybe his transition into the league and what maybe I'm a big believer in a guy, Josh Gordon, having a whole offseason under his belt. I think he'd be able to contribute. I think he'd be able to contribute a lot better than what he did last year. And that's going to be significant. And so there's a number of guys I think met just in the room, but I think Patrick having those options, guys, is a great problem to have, you know, because now, you know, he don't have to rely on, like you said, the whole deep ball, you know, get open, let me throw it over here. I mean, that's one thing. It's great to have that, right? You know, in your arsenal, but now all of a sudden you don't have to rely on it, right? You don't have to just kind of throw your eyes and like, man, I know he's down here. I know he's going to make a play. You got playmakers all around you now, and he could kind of pepper it like he wants to. Now, defensively, I think defenses will still give us kind of that. If we tend to stay with a passing game a lot, then they're still going to be able to drop, you know, 7-8 guys in coverage. I still believe that. And so with the new guys kind of coming in and having learned how to, you know, deal with the offense, is going to be the challenge, right? Patrick does a great job of extending plays with his legs. Okay. I think he's one of the best in the games, you know, able to do that. I mean, he's been phenomenal in that aspect, since he's been back there, calling plays. And so having those options and getting guys open, guys that he know are like proven guys, these are proven guys that's played other places that could catch the football, I think was going to give him a sense of comfort. And so that's what you see. The offense is going to be more so kind of geared. It's still going to be a passing offense. What you do to change the defense up, you got to run the football, okay? I'm not going to miss that point about it at all because, look, we got three stellar running backs. I know we've been talking about the wide receiver room, but, look, we got CEH, we got Rojo, and now we got McKinnon, okay? And we got three guys that can run the football and catch the football. And I think they're going to be a big part of what we do. And if they're not, they should be, okay? And I think it'll help open up the pass a little bit more. It's just, you know, the run opens up the pass and the same vice versa. And so I think Patrick's attitude is coming into the season just like, oh, man, this is great. This is great. Because now I know guys are going to get open. Starting to get rapport with him. He knows guys are going to catch the football. He's got, look, and these guys, all these guys got hands. So I ain't said anything about a tight end yet, right? I ain't even said nothing about Travis. So I'm just talking about the wide receiver room and the running backs of the type of weapons he's got around him. So, man, they're going to look good. Offense is going to look good. Matter of fact, I think we're going to have the best offense in the AFC. I do. Shoot, we'll have one of the top offenses in the NFL, without a doubt. When it's all said and done, I think – when everybody starts gelling together and this thing looking like if it comes all together like it should, oh, man, you're going to have some fun out there. Pat's going to be putting up a whole lot of numbers. There's going to be a lot of things that's going to be a little slightly different, but a little the same. Patrick's still going to get guys. You're going to throw them, put darts on them right in their chest. We got guys, like I said, that's going to be able to snag it and catch it. So that's going to be good.
Do you think with the amount of guys that we have, do you think there's going to be – how many 1,000-yard receivers do you think we'll have this year? Let's see. Kelce will get one.
Yeah.
We'll have one. What about the receivers? Because I honestly don't think – I think there's a chance we might not get a 1,000-yard receiver. I think we may spread it out and have a bunch of guys at 800. Like, yeah. I think it's going to be more like that, maybe a 900 guy. But I think it's going to be more spread out that way. I mean, that's what I think. But, I mean, there's so many weapons.
No, I agree with you. I think it's going to be a lot of guys just right under that cusp of 1,000. You know, yeah, 800, maybe 9 here and stuff. I think, you know, Juju definitely got that capability. right? He's been able to do it. So, you know, MBS, hey, he has an ability. Like these, that's the thing about it. We got guys that have the ability to get a lot of yards, catch a lot of balls. Shoot, I don't know, man. Offensively, man, we might have, but maybe one of our best offenses to date.
Yeah,
with Patrick back there for what he got surrounding, for real. So, hey, it's good to have, you know, the home run hitter and Tyreek. We ain't got that guy no more. We got a lot of guys, home run hitter and consistent guys. Guys get the job done. And it's going to, like I said, it's going to be fun to watch.
And it feels like we have a very selfless group. And I'm not saying that Tyreek was selfish, but I'm just saying that based on what we saw last when we heard that, when we heard the sound bites where he's talking about, oh, I only got three targets that one game. Now he was texting his agent about it. Who knows? He may have been going to Patrick and Andy about it. But I feel like we have guys, MVS, who was a number three in Green Bay. You know, he knew his Aaron Rodgers. Juju was amongst, you know, Deontay Johnson. What's his name? The big receiver from Notre Dame.
I just forgot too. See his face. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Claypool.
Yeah.
He was amongst those guys. He was also with Antonio Brown. So he's also played third fiddle and second fiddle. He's never really been a number one guy. And I feel like Josh is another guy who, you know, he's been that number one guy before, but I feel like it's more now. He just kind of wants to fit in with a group. Holt Hardman has been number two, number three. I feel like we have so many guys who just like, they're not going to care if they're not getting a bunch of catches or a bunch of targets. They're going to know it's my game. This game plan benefits me or benefits somebody else. And I feel like there's going to be that kind of pressures off to make sure someone's happy. And that's one thing. Tyreek Hill may have not said anything to Patrick. I'm just saying. But like that kind of thing for Pat, it's like, oh, I need to make sure Tyreek's happy, trying to get in his due, maybe force a ball his way that shouldn't go his way. And that I think that's gone now. That's my opinion. What do you think about that aspect of it?
No, I agree with you. I think right now all these guys are just trying to get comfortable in the offense, right? And also too, you know, we can't minimize when guys leave from a team and whatever it may have been, like, you know, controversy, maybe not getting a whole lot of balls because, you know, you was injured or, you know, you're trying to revamp your career, to appreciate the time that you get and every ball that you're getting, right, to contribute to the overall scheme of things. And that's what you want to be able to do. You want to take in from what the team standard is, not, you know, all the accolades from the individual, you know, team aspect. We want to win this thing. And if I can contribute doing that, I think guys on this squad are all about that. I really do. And like you said, hey, these guys right here, they definitely do seem like they are selfless about things. So, yeah.
It's exciting hearing these guys talk. I mean, everyone seems so – and I think that we talked about this on the show, but that Texas camp, they did a little getaway camp where they all went. I think that really paid off dividends, and I think we're going to see that kind of pay off when we get to the season.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too. You know, I was about to say Tyreek's hit name. I was like, but I'm just leaving it alone. Okay. But hey, these guys, that is strong camaraderie that you can get, especially like that during the off season. Now these guys have been talking and I'm sure they have a conversation stuff right now. And I know every single one of these guys are excited to get to training camp. I know they are. Right. And everybody's just waiting to get to the season because everybody's like, man, I'm just, you know, they have so much, I think, confidence in the room because I think they know everybody's ability in there. And that's good. That's a great place. That's a great place to be. So, yeah.
I'm excited to talk to one of our guys in that receiver room about kind of what we just talked about.
Be a great discussion.
Yeah. It's going to be really excited to hear about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next topic, this is about another receiver. We talked about Juju. There's something interesting here. Yeah, so, you know, we talk about receivers, new guys have to learn the playbook. We talk about Josh Gordon, you know, maybe was the playbook the reason why he didn't play last year. We find out it's not the reason. But having to break away from bad habits, not only is another thing you kind of have to get, not bad habits, but break away from your kind of norms that you kind of learn to grow with Pittsburgh. And he kind of talked about a big thing with Pittsburgh versus what he's learned so far in Kansas City is kind of staying engaged with the play. And what he said, quote, "We're always taught just to stay on the move because you just never know what you'll get out of him. for him referring to Pat. Right. He also made note that the Chiefs have an entire practice period devoted to scrambling and unscripted plays. And he said over the last 5 years, since he's been in the league, he's been with Big Ben. Big Ben hasn't been really the Big Ben from his rookie and first 10 seasons where, you know, he was a lot of scripted plays. He'd break tackles and roll out and find someone. Juju got the latter part of that. He got the older Big Ben, so he wasn't a lot of much of unscripted plays.
Right.
So the question I had here is, you know, when you talk about getting accustomed to playing with a new QB and system, developing chemistry, are these the kind of things we're talking about? Like having to learn, like, look, always staying, because when I saw it being engaged with the play, I feel like a receiver, that's just something you naturally are always engaged with the play. But like, I guess, you know, going from Big Ben, old Big Ben to Pat, I mean, are these the kind of things we talk about when you getting developing that chemistry, these kinds of things?
Oh, definitely. Because, you know, when you put a plan together, game plan or, you know, however you run your offense, you know, you have spots that you need to be in. You have the timing down when you run your routes, the depth of the route. And so sometimes as receivers, you're expecting the ball to be on you, right? Like when you come out of the break, you're expecting the ball to be there. And sometimes it's a clock that goes off in your head because that expectation is telling me, well, if it's not here, then something's going wrong. Something's wrong. Something doesn't happen or somebody else has got the football. And this kind of goes back to what I was saying before, where Patrick does a great job extending plays with his legs. And so him saying he's being engaged, he understands that you got a guy who can, you know, run the football and throw it on a run. He can make throws that other guys just can't make, like the no-look pass. Like, you know, he's on the sideline. He's like, man, I ain't seen anything like that. Like, he faked me out, and I'm on the sideline, right? So all those things are new because it's almost like I kind of liken it to like Magic Johnson, okay? If you're a Magic Johnson fan, then you know that when he played, Magic Johnson made sure that everybody that played around him was ready for the ball. Because it could come out of nowhere. You just don't know because it was showtime. That's what he was doing. You know, how Magic do? Hee-hee! You know, it was magic. Because that's how Patrick, you know, in the football world, how he does things. He can run. He can throw it up here, sidearm. And so guys know, look, this just make sure I'm on the move. And so I told you, I think I've been saying this. It almost seemed like it's a big scramble drill. You know, I've heard people talking about, man, what play are they running this? I'm like, look, man, these guys are just running to get open at a certain point, right? Now, you have the design route, but of course, but at a certain point, it's like, okay, well, stay on the move. Find a window. And that's why I always said it was kind of like a smaller man's offense because, you know, the little guys could, you know, you could fit behind a linebacker. You know, you could squeak in, you know, right, you know, 5 yards and catch the football and then run for them. 30 or 40 yards. So it was more so that, like finding the windows and keep working for Pat because Pat's going to find you. And if you're finding and you're getting open, then, you know, the football may come to you. But what we need to understand, I think, you know, they're doing the scramble drill, but the scramble drill still has rules to it, okay? So I want people to understand that even though it's like it seems chaotic and they're doing, there's still rules to what you have to do and to follow. So I'll give you an example. So if you have like the deep route on one particular play and you could either keep going deep, but as soon as the quarterback scrambles, at least part of our rule, the deep guy will come back to the football. Okay. The short guy will go deep. The guy that's, you know, got the shallow cross or, you know, the middle read or the basic route may switch up and go opposite end. Okay, and so there's rules to what everybody is playing, and you got to know what everybody is doing. You got to know the route. The worst thing you could possibly do is have two guys in the same area at one time. And I think the Chiefs do a great job of, they do a great job of guys not necessarily being in the same area where it becomes crowded. But sometimes what we've seen last year when Patrick is running around, he's trying to get the ball to guys. That's kind of what happened to Josh. Josh lost two balls like that last year off his hands and two interceptions because it's that engaging, like keep coming back to the ball, right? And I've seen him get on Hardman a couple of times. Like, look, man, you need to go deep. Like, you know the rule. Like, if don't just, you know, like throttle down when I'm coming. I'm looking for you to go deep. I'm looking for you to run across your, you know, you know, full blast on these things. And so you can see that in his eyes, and I can see that in the offense of what they're trying to do, especially if the guy's not open initially or he is not getting the ball out of his hand right now. Stay on the move. Here's the rule. Know who's in your space, what you can do, what you can't do, and get open for Patrick, right? Find a window. So there's still rules to the chaos. It really is. But the Juju said, look, man, we're doing drills. So we understand this is what can happen in the game, because it will happen in the game. This is how our offense is predicated off guys not getting open initially and then finding the window or a hole that Patrick can get the ball to you. So we have the best quarterback in the business that can do that. You know, I don't know any other quarterback that he may not be the fastest, but as fast as he is, getting the ball at his hand and being that accurate, okay? Hint, hint, Tua, talking about accuracy. Pat got that. He already got it, man. So that's where we at, man. That's what Juju's talking about. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, Pat's got that. He's got a sneaky athletic. Like he's not the fastest, but he's still got sneaky athleticism.
It's funny too, because he's deceptive in his speed. He really is. It's not fast what people think, and I think sometimes they might think Patrick's got a little dumpy around the midsection. I don't think they think he can move a little bit, right? Yeah. He may not look like the most athletic guy, but that sucker, he gets it done.
Yeah,
he's done trimmed down, man. He's an athlete. Yeah. Patrick's an athlete. Let's just put it that way, okay? Yeah, he's played baseball. I'm sure he played basketball and other things like it, man. He's an athlete, so don't let the smooth taste fool you, okay? Yeah. He'll get on you quick.
Now, what Juju said, though, because in that quote, he also said that he's never had a practice period devoted to unscripted plays before. Now, that's not traditionally a part of the NFL periods, like practice periods, right? The most teams devoted to that.
No, we do. Yeah, we do scramble drill every day. Every single day. But like the whole period, like in itself. So I don't know how they was doing up in Pittsburgh. But I know when we had it, there was always a time that we did scramble drill toward that, like it was a 2-minute scramble drill. If we didn't, like even on 7-on-7, if you're not getting the football, we work on scramble drill.
Right.
Because we just say, you come back, hey, man, it's scramble drill, right? The ball's not coming out, scramble drill. Like you still had to work on it. We don't want guys just standing around. Right. And so that's what he was talking about. Like the plays are lasting longer than what he's used to, okay? Because that's what's expected here in Kansas City.
Yep.
So. We have periods that you would do scramble drill every single day. That was just part of it, you know. So, like I said, man, work on practically every scenario that there is the guys could even think of. And that's why I say sometimes these things that happen in the game, coaches have thought it out. You have to think about what is it I'm going against. If I get in this scenario, what's the contingency plan? How do I get out of it? What do we do in this particular thing? We all don't want to be looking like deers in headlights and just standing around. You know, we don't want to look bad as coaches, like, oh, well, we don't know what to do, right? Let's go. Hey, it's what we do, right? This the improvise if you need to. But just make sure when you're improvising, you're not on top of another player while you're doing it. You're not running in and looking like, I don't know, like Three Stooges.
All right.
Right? So,
I believe also in that same quote, Juju said that he had never the first time he got a no look pass was Patrick in the Pro Bowl in 2019.
Oh, really? Okay.
He played the no looker to him in the game.
Yeah, man. Be ready, man. Be ready, because he'll hit you dead in your helmet and pop up, and you're not expecting it, and you have to be ready all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time.
Did Trent ever do any no looks in practice, or Brody or Damon?
No, they might have did it in team messing around, but not in practice. Now, Trent was. I mean, when I'm telling you, that was a great thing. I love watching Trent work, because if the ball wasn't on the receiver, or you know, it was in the dirt, or somebody missed the ball, Trent would count everything out. And it was precise. Like he knew how deep you had to be. And he knew if the timing was off, because everything was like on time and everybody was expecting the ball. Ball was coming out of hand and you weren't even out of your route. And right. So that's what you knew. That was part of what the offense was geared to, you know, was on timing. And he was great at it. Absolute one of the best I've seen. Like when I'm talking about to a T in detail, depth of the route, timing of the route, when you're supposed to be. And Al Saunders, I'll tell you what Al used to say. Al Saunders used to say, be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. That was our mantra. Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Because if you're not, everything messes up because your timing is off. So
that's, I mean, that's talking about being exact and precise with everything.
Yes. Yes.
And another way, well, Casey Prince, I remember in our, that preseason, we had some scramble drills with him. I'm sure. I mean, did he ever, no looks with him? No, I feel like he would be the type. He ended up playing in the CFL. They experiment with everything up there. So, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I can't think of, like, no look passes. Oh, not really, man. But Casey made people miss though, man. He was athletic, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And he wasn't sneaky about it. He was.
Yeah. He make it look easy too, man. I just love watching Casey out there running with that ball in his head and just put the ball up, because he'd be out there like this, like dancing with it, like.
Yeah. That was another guy. We talked about Rod Gardner getting cut, and he was another guy that should not have gotten cut on that off that team.
Yeah, man.
That was a surprise. Okay, so next topic here. So this is interesting. I thought this was really interesting. In an article from The Athletic with Nate Taylor, it's been told that Justin Reed is already being seen as the leader of the defense by many of his teammates. And that's 3 months ago he got signed. So, like, I mean, this is a very short time. But in the article, Nate Taylor spoke with Justin Reed. And Reed said in the article, he had a lot of good quotes, but this is the one that stood out to me. Quote, in my role in the back end, your teammates have to know you're getting to be where you're going to be, and you're going to handle your responsibility on the field. That's what comes first. Your leaders need to be your best players, but your best players also have to be your hardest workers. I live by that. So, JD, what do you think of Reed's comments and how teammates are already seeing him as leader of this defense, kind of really replacing what we had in Tyrann Mathieu, who was the heart and soul of the defense? Seems like Justin Reed is kind of stepping in and just taking from that what Mathieu left off.
You need a guy like that. And I think they realized who they were getting and why they were getting him, because they knew that he had that leadership quality about him. They knew that he was a stud out there. And so some guys you could just tell. You could just tell in the way that they maneuver, how they talk and communicate to other people, how other people are responding to him. And so him having kind of that sense of urgency and just putting things on his shoulders, I mean, shoot, the Chiefs did well with getting Justin Reed, no doubt about it. You know, young guy. And I think that was right on the wall. Just like, look, we just want to go younger with this. But if we could get a guy that's almost like Tyrann, that's what we want to do, right? And so Justin Reed, like you said, he's intelligent guy. I think you said, he's well-spoken, but also direct. When you have guys that doesn't really wane from what they want to do, and you see the goals and what they're talking about, he's like, okay, this is a guy you need to follow. This is a guy that you need to watch. And so he's already saying, look, you watch how I work. Let that lead you, okay? I'll be the talk. I'll talk also, but also, too, I don't want to be like the empty wagon, because there's too many, we all know guys like that. Hey, come on, guys. You're that man. You're like, you ain't doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And here you calling guys out. Man, I hate the guys like that. Come on, guys. You shut your tail. You ain't doing nothing. Right. And so he's just commanding that type of respect and attention and knowing, hey, look, I'm your first free agent signing. So, hey, this meant something. Right. So if we revamping the defense and he understands like the shoes he had to fill and who he's coming in to replace. Hey, man, he's got to adopt all of that. Every single aspect of that. And I don't think he's a fluke at all. I think he's a real deal. And we're gonna see it this season. But, hey, man, Justin Reed, man, is going to be an exciting guy to watch. But also, too, with the secondary that he has is the most promising thing. Mm-hmm. When you got a young McDuffie out there, You got other guys out here who are still needed. They need that leader to talk to them and talk them through particular things, right? That is just your pulse. You need to have a guy like that, that hold guys accountable and get guys up and prepared. So, yeah, he'll fill that role tremendously. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Yeah. And it's cool, too, because, I mean, he's pretty much inheriting a defense, which is kind of the secondary, which has filled a lot of young guys. He's like, I mean, I think he might be the oldest guy in that secondary now. I think he is the oldest guy, and he's a young buck.
Yeah.
And another thing, too, with him, we talk about similarities with Matthew. He was the I believe he was the Walter Payton nominee for the Houston Texans last year, the year before. So, I mean, this is a good quality guy we're getting on top of, just kind of the leadership aspect.
Right.
But is it rare, though, to kind of see a guy who hasn't stepped on a field yet? He's already getting that, like, he's already being seen as a leader on the defense. And that's kind of, we haven't really gotten to even training camp yet. He's already being seen as that. I mean, does that speak volumes that a guy's already getting that kind of respect right away like that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, just in his demeanor and in his presentation and how he talks and how he carries himself. I mean, you can see it, like I said. And I think, when he comes in, he's talking, not just talking a good game, but he's out there and he's showing it. And guys like that, man, it's just, they're not flukes. You know, he knows what to do. He knows what to say. He knows how to present himself. And to me, he's a guy that's going to get the job done. And he's letting everybody know, like, look, I came here for a particular job. I'm going to get this job done, and I'm going to make sure I'm going to bring other people with me to make sure they get their jobs done too. Mm-hmm. So, a guy like that, hey, shoot, you want a guy like that on your team. Yeah. And like you said, up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, those accolades, they don't come easy, right? They ain't just being picked by anybody. Mm. This guy right here is a solid guy. Yeah. So, good job for the Chiefs, man, going out and getting it, for real.
Mm. Yeah. No, and that's the thing, too. It's like, I know some people say, well, he didn't win it. He was the nominee for his team. But you know how many guys? There's 53 guys on that team, and a lot of them do a lot of charitable work in their communities. So it's a tough thing to achieve.
Man, if guys are saying that, man, you're joking, just saying anything. They just want controversy. They just want to just say the opposite of whatever, you know.
I have not seen anybody say that directly about him, but I've seen that before where people just knock nominees from teams. It's like, well, he didn't win it. He's the nominee. It's like, I mean.
Ridiculous. Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. And like, if it wasn't him, just anybody. Like, why would you try to minimize what a guy is being kind of chosen by his peers and everybody around him and recognizing his greatness and the leadership quality, whoever it may be. And you just want to hate on him, or like I said, diminish the contribution. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, that's the internet and Twitter comments that people. That's why I know what people say. I always look and think, oh well, someone's knocking him for only being the nominee. He didn't win the entire award, but there's 53 guys on a roster who do a lot for their community, so it's not an easy award to get.
Right.
I mean, you guys had Brian Waters win that award every year.
Brian Waters, I think Will was up for it too. We had a couple guys that was part of it. I think T. Rich might have been maybe part of a nominee one year. Man. So the Chiefs have done a good job. They've had a multitude of guys that have been up for that award. I know when I was playing, I think probably throughout. You know what I mean? So. Yeah. And that's hats off. That's their commitment to the community and what they do to kind of get the guys out there. So just a great A organization, right? Yeah, it really is. So that's what that's all about as well.
That goes to show you how tough it is, though. You have a multitude of guys who are like doing so much for their community. It's like, it's not easy to get that award even within that team, let alone the entire league.
Right. It's true.
It's crazy. Anybody to knock that's just an unpleasant human being.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. So the last topic tonight, as we mentioned earlier, we had two topics for the tight ends, and this one is dedicated to Tight End University, Tight End U, which is going on this week. I think it started either today or yesterday, but All the best NFL tight ends I've gathered down in Nashville, Tennessee, to train and coach up fellow tight ends all over. And I'll pretty much all the, I think almost every team is represented in this one. You got the all the top guys are there. Dawson Knox, Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Irv Smith, all these guys are there. I think Njoku's there too. Everyone's there. You name a tight end, you look at the group picture from last year, every 32 starting tight end was there, all 32 of them. But this is the second year of the tight end. I know you're a proud papa, seeing all the all the young guys go out there to tight end you and kind of gather. But I want to ask you, I kind of let you take away this segment. Is there anything that you really hope the tight ends kind of discuss or talk about while they're all gathered there and together in Nashville? Or is there anything that you really want to say to all these guys out in Nashville right now?
Well, first time, I just want to say, man, hope the guys are having a great time down there. Everybody be safe. You know, don't do anything stupid, right? You know, because meet each and every one of you guys, right? It's just good competitors and playing football, NFL. You know, like I said, it's a brotherhood. So it don't matter if you're wearing a different uniform. You could be on your team next year or something like that happens. But, you know, you want everybody to come home healthy. But I will say this. I think them getting together, I think you have to talk about contracts. I think you have to talk about setting the market for the tight ends. I think you, and I'm sure they have their conversations. If they're not, then they need to. Then I need to go ahead and drive down to Nashville. I'm like, hey, look, man, listen, look, they've been screwing us over the years. Okay. We've been, you know, the what's the name of the bridesmaid, not the bride for a long time. We ain't the one they've been paying a whole lot of money to, and y'all been producing a whole lot. And every one of y'all guys have been absolutely stubborn. Most of the guys, top guys. I mean, you could run through them. The top 10 guys, the teams won't be doing what they're doing without these tight ends out here. I mean, they're supreme athletes catching a lot of balls. I mean, they are absolutely wearing defenses out. And so they are an important, integral part of what teams do offensively. And they have to be acknowledged for that, and they need to be compensated for it as well. If everybody else is being compensated for what they do on the football field and their productivity, then the tight ends need to be in that conversation as well. So I'm sure they're doing that. Like I said, if they're not, then no, I know they're doing it. They had to. I mean, that's part of like getting together, because you want to, you know, make sure everybody's being taken care of. And it's good because you put your eyes on what the other guy's doing, right? Working out. So it's like, okay, look, I'm going to see. He got a new move, or he's, you know, what they talking about doing. So it's good. It's good for the appearance. Guys get down there, you know, every year. So I hope it's going to make it a yearly thing. But I think that's one of the things you have to do, is you have to hash out the money aspect of everything and how's guys going to get paid. So we know wide receivers making top money, defense end making top money. Aaron Donald just set the market for defensive tackles, you know, making top money. So now that's going to be something new in the conversation. We're talking about outside O linemen, right? Tackles making a whole lot of money. Secondary, everybody's making a whole lot of money. Quarterbacks, of course, you know, they're always going to be the first ones you get the money to. Mm-hmm. But now all of a sudden you've got all of these tremendous tight ends. What are they making, right? Well, we could do all out at the tight. Really? You think you can? Okay. Well, I don't know if the Chiefs would be as good without Travis Kelce. And then you start looking at Waller. You start looking, you know, at Kittles. You start looking at Andrews. You can start going up, listen this, right? On and on and on. So, we got to talk about just, you know, the highest paid tight end or who's going to go up there, got to set the market. So I think who's the highest paid tight end? Is it Njoku? Is he the one? I think he might be, I think, because he just signed a deal. Right. So I'm thinking he may be the guy, but I know he got a good deal. I know that. But the highest paid, and I know and it's commendable for what Travis is doing. And I agree with him 100% of cementing the legacy, what he wants to do. But, you know, the reality is he's got to be paid as such. Okay. We're talking about being, you know, one of the greats of all time. We got him. So if he's here, he needs to be compensated for it. So
I agree.
Yeah, that's what we talking about. So tight end, you enjoy yourself, enjoy your fellows around you. Go have a good time in Nashville. Nashville's a great city. Go in and get that grind and that work in. You know, but hey, talk business. It's all business down there too. So on the field and off the field, right? So sometimes you just gotta you want to put a new wave into what you're trying to do at these positions and doing things a different way. I like it. So, you know, when they put these things together, put their hands together to make his decision for Titan University, it was one of the greatest things ever. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. To what you said, number one, Kittle's makes the most. Kelsey's number two, Dallas Goedert number three, and Njoku number four.
Okay. All right. So what is Kittle making a year?
15 a year for Kittle. His contract was $30 million guaranteed. Kelsey's 14.3. His contract was 21 guaranteed. And then Goddard 14.2. So he's just a little bit behind Kelsey. And then his fully guaranteed was 14 mil.
Yeah. So yeah, these guys, they tight ends got to be up there in the 20s, man. I mean, shoot, wide receivers, everybody else is getting close to 30.
Yeah. Hey. As the cap gets bigger, and it's going to happen eventually.
Man, money's going to be there. That's the thing about it. Money's going to be there.
Yep. Yep.
Set the market. Set the market. Set the market.
Who's going to be the one to do that? Kittle wants Kelsey to be the one to do that, and Kelsey kind of said no to that.
I know it. I know, but hey, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen at some point here. So.
Oh yeah.
Someone's going to get it. I mean, hey, maybe when Pitts is done with his rookie contract, maybe he'll be the first one to do it. Maybe.
He got to produce.
It's true. He's got no Julio. He's got no one over there right now. No Ridley this year. He's going to be the only guy there.
Right. Yeah. So.
But. All right, fellas. Well, that does it for us. Thanks for tuning in to Chief Concerns presented by Bet Online. We'll see you guys next week. And. Hopefully, based on what we talked about last week, hopefully we're getting closer to training camp. Hopefully that edge rush, that contingency plan is gonna hit for us.
yes. So I know, I'm sure there's some talks out there right now. So, all right, like I said, something's gonna happen. It's gonna have to.
Yeah. Well, actually, there was one thing I wanted to mention before we left. I did a little bit more digging. So Robert Quinn, not only is our the former chief executive front office guy, who's there now as their GM for the last 13 years. But the guy who drafted him when he was in the St. Louis Rams, the head coach of the Rams at the time was Spags. Spags was the head coach, and they drafted him in the first round that year.
Oh, shoot. There you go.
Quinn, you can trade for Quinn, or you can sign JPP when JPP played for Spags. So there's connections there with some of the options out there. So we'll see. Hopefully one of those things comes to fruition by next Wednesday, and we can talk to you guys about it. So I hope you guys have a great weekend. JD, I'll see you next time, buddy. Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.